As we are joined now by a six-time Olympian, four-time gold medalist, and now, unlike Struds, she is actually a real doctor. Haley Wickenheiser joins us. Haley, how are you? Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Struds took one science course and claimed he was pre-med, so that's kind of the running joke.
It was a year or two just getting involved.
It was one class. Let's not lie.
Well, that's one more than most.
Thank you. There you go. Hey, before we want to get you on for story time, talk about your career, which is fantastic. But I saw you tweet out about it's amazing the impact. Like, you never played for the Oilers or the Eskimos, but everybody in the hockey circles knew about Joey Ma. So what was your connection to Joe?
Oh, man. You know, I guess if you're in hockey, how could you not know Joey? I mean, as a kid, obviously, I grew up knowing the story of Joey's connection with Wayne and the Oilers. And then when I started to play with the national team, you know, I think several times up in Edmonton after Olympics with games, I just started to get to interact with Joey. Wayne's fantasy camp I went to for several years down in Las Vegas, and Joey was there. And just being around, you know, seeing him, he's pretty infectious personality, pretty fun guy. And I think, you know, he made everyone's lives that he touched just so much better for it. So it's a big loss for obviously the Oilers, but all of the hockey world. And he touched so many lives along the way. And I don't know if there's a true builder of hockey in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It might be Joey Ma.
Yeah, Haley, I love how you phrase that. And the thing about Joey, and you probably had a lot of people around your teams as well, is that they just bring energy, you know, a positive mm-hmm. energy. And that there are times you desperately need that.
Yeah. You know, like, I think you kind of get caught up in sometimes in the world of pro sport and you lose perspective. I see that now when I work in the emergency room, and sometimes I go to the rink and the problems that we thought as hockey players that were big are pretty small compared to what people are facing every day. And I think Joey is just always a reminder of, you know, what's really important in life, like the relationships that you have with people and the impact that you leave, the legacy that you leave. And certainly he left a big mark in a lot of people's lives.
Haley, you know, you began playing minor hockey in the outdoor rinks back in Shaunavon in Saskatchewan. You were a youngster, like a lot of Canadians, got into it right away. Back then, there wasn't the opportunities for girls to play on girls' teams. You played with the boys, I think, until you were a teenager. And it's funny, we had Manon Rayom on last week in Storytime. She felt for her, you know, she felt there were strengths at times to play against the boys and then weaknesses as a goalie because they shot harder. And then when she had to switch back, it didn't help for timing, even though they played the game different. Where do you stand now is, you know, because the women's game, you know, there's a women's pro league. Is it better for girls to play with girls as much as they can from an early age? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, you're asking me a pretty loaded question there. That's a question I get asked a lot. But you know what? It's a really good question because it's a relevant question. When I was growing up in Shaunavon, I didn't even have that option. You know, I think our last year before we moved, my dad formed a girls team, and it was me and my sister were on the same team. She's 5 years younger than me, so you can imagine how that went. And I think, you know, with Manon being a goalie, it is very different. I think it does throw off your timing. So I don't know if that's advantageous. But for me, I felt like I developed playing with the boys, and I played as long as I could. I had really no desire to play with the girls. However, I will say now, you know, the game has come a long way, that there's just more options. So what I always tell parents is, you know, let your daughter decide if she loves to play with the boys and she's happy there and it's a good atmosphere, then keep her there. But the options for girls, especially when you get into the midget, bantam and midget, are just more. So there's really no right answer. I always say to people, play where you're going to have the most ice time and where you're having the most fun, and figure it out from there.
I like that, where you're having the most fun and getting ice time, because playing at the highest level, if you're not getting ice time, isn't necessarily better than maybe playing on a AA team and getting a ton of work at a young age. You know, you represented Alberta at the 18 and under for the Canada Winter Games. You know, we're talking back in the 90s, and you know, there still wasn't the opportunities for girls so much that there is now. But for, like, when you were there, and the girls' game was growing and evolving, so when you were, did you think that, like, Nagano and Sochi and Vancouver and all, like, did you think that that was, you know, a possibility for you when you were, like, did you see that? Or was that still an amazing opportunity, you know, in 98 that you didn't even think was possible maybe when you were at the U18s in 91?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know. I thought I got an offer to go to Harvard when I was pretty young. Like, I think I was like, they started coming and talk to me and I was like 12 or 13. Wow. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go to Harvard and get an Ivy League degree, go to med school. You know, that was kind of my thought. And then I actually thought I would go to the Olympics in softball before hockey because it was announced. It was in the 96 Olympics. So I was kind of gunning for that, playing both sports. And then when it was announced as a full medal sport in Nagano, then I knew that, okay, I had a place to go and a pathway forward. So didn't really think about it. My dream at, you know, when I was that age was to play for the Edmonton Oilers. You know, I wanted to be like Wayne and Mark and all the guys. And I idolized them. I watched all the games and they really impacted my life at a young age. So, but no one told me any different that it wasn't okay to dream about that either. So I think it was all good the way it worked out.
Oh, amazing career. Absolutely amazing career. You know, you mentioned that there wasn't enough, maybe an opportunity for the Olympics for the ladies in hockey. But, you know, you were a trailblazer and many of your teammates were all trailblazer. And then, you know, you look at now what the ladies are going through when they're coming through. They've seen the Haley Wickenheimers. They see all these great players that have come before them. Did you wish you maybe would have had some people you could have followed in their footsteps rather than being the trailblazer we know you as?
I guess that's a good question. I guess I didn't know any different. My dad, growing up in Saskatchewan, I didn't have any female role models except Diane Jones-Konohowski, who was a heptathlete, a great Saskatchewan athlete. My dad would always say, you know, you got to watch this as an athlete. You know, you got to watch her. And there was no hockey players that I knew of until I was 12, the 1990 Women's World Championships, where they wore those really bad pink jerseys. And then I had something to shoot for. So it didn't. It really was just my norm. I was looking to the NHL and all those great male players. I don't think it would have changed my development in any way, but certainly it was nice to know that, you know, I could look at other girls and women and say, oh, I actually have a place that I belong now, which wasn't the case for many years. So it's nice to see that that's come. And I think if young girls can, you know, you can see it, you can be it in every aspect of life. And that's why it's so important, I think, to push the women's game forward.
Haley Wickenheiser joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. You know, of course, you won nationals in the women's with the Edmonton Chimos and the Calgary Oval Extreme, and then it came to the Olympics, and then you you know, you played in some men's professional leagues, Haley, and I'm sure I can't imagine kind of the potential pushback that you had or the hurdles to overcome that. Like, being a goaltender, man, like, it's a little bit different. You're in goal, like, no one's running you over, right? Well, at least not legally, anyway. How come that was so important for you to, is that just, you were that competitive, you're just, I want to push myself to as high as I can go?
Yeah, you know, I think when Manon did it, like, Manon was my teammate early on the national team, and I was like 15 years old. We were roommates and teammates on the road and stuff like that. And I saw Manon, which she, you know, people say, oh, it was a publicity stunt, et cetera, it was what Manon did in Tampa Bay. But I saw how hard that was from Manon's perspective, and she's not a big woman. Have those guys running at you and just the environment. And so I thought, you know, if I could ever play at the highest level, wherever that might be in the world, I'm going to go for it. And that was really after the 2002 Olympics. Started talking to people like Tom Rennie and guys that were in the international game, Wally Kozak, or people overseas saying, you know, where could I play and what would be a good fit, because the women's game just didn't have enough competition and enough games for what I wanted. And so Finland is where I ended up for the first two seasons, and then Sweden in 2008. It was a great experience, and every day was hard, like, in the sense that I knew I just had to be on. Like, I couldn't have a day off, even in practice, and, you know, be vulnerable that way. You just never knew when you were going to take a hit or somebody was going to be after you. But when I came back to the women's game, I felt like it helped me a lot, slowed things down, and I saw the game in a different light, and I became a more dynamic player, I think, doing that.
You know, there are some that suggest that the men's game is a little more physical, but I've watched a lot of ladies' games, and I feel it is quite physical. Maybe not the same running, but the competing and battling. I mean, to me, it's right up there. So, you know, what part did you bring back from the men's game to the ladies' game?
Well, you know, I wasn't the smallest player. I certainly wasn't the biggest. I was kind of average or below for my size. So in the women's game, I kind of describe it as, like, I went from more of a bull to a spider in the way that I played the game. So where I was just kind of be able to run people over and kind of power forward to the spider, where I tried to have, you know, the, everything come to me and through me and be able to distribute more and make players around me better and just find different ways to be creative and find space out on the ice. And so it wasn't so much about the physicality, because you're right. Like, if you, you know, an Olympic level USA Canada game has as much hitting in it as the NHL does these days. So it wasn't really about that, but there was also that added layer that I knew that there were two or three guys on every team that were going to try and take a run at me. And so that just, it changes the way that you think and the way that you're aware. And I felt like that really helped me to, you know, just be more heads up out there.
Haley Wickenheiser joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Being from Saskatchewan, you know, your age, you watched the battles of Alberta, and you know, then you played in the women's league. But the, like, the women, Canada versus the United States in women's hockey, like, it was almost bigger than the Battle of Alberta, because it was two countries, and like the rivalry was legit. Like, you girl, the thing, and I kind of think hockey sometimes we miss the pure, you know, like, there's respect, but there's hatred, and that's a good thing I find in sports, and that series had it. Like, do you miss like that fire of just like literally like hating the opposition?
Oh yeah, like, that's a great way to describe it, is that I, you know, for me personally, it was, I remember talking to Bob Clark about the 72 series, you know, Canada versus Russia, and I said, like, what was that like? And he said, you know, it wasn't a hockey game, it was literally war. It was like country against country. And I felt many times, maybe not to that same level, but I did feel that at Olympic Games, especially, you know, Salt Lake City with the men's team and Vancouver. It just felt like it was much bigger than the game itself. It was kind of defining. Canada's always sort of the little brother or sister to the U.S. And so in hockey, it was our chance to exert that. And so and that rivalry's changed, because a lot of the women play in the NCAA again with each other, kind of like the NHL these days. But when I, you know, first 10 years of my career, it was really pure. And there was, like, you didn't even, like, get in the elevator. You didn't even look, make eye contact. Like, I loved it. I missed that part of it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, like, sports, sometimes we miss that. Like, it's great to be respectful, but you could still respect your opposition without having to be best friends with them, right?
Oh, yeah, and to be honest, I'm not friends with any American player I ever played against, except for maybe Cammy Granato through the years. You know, we knew each other very young. So, but, yeah, there's no love lost there for me. I like it that way. It was fun.
Now, you had a tremendous amount of success in the Olympics. Was there one that you just, like, you just loved, the gold medal? Was there one that really, you know, that was above the rest, the other four?
They're not really. They're also unique. I mean, Salt Lake was 30 minutes in the penalty box, and then we came, you know, against kind of all odds and what was happening off the ice with the men's team. Vancouver, just winning in your home country, it was just like that emotion of feeling very patriotic and Canadian. And then Sochi, I think those three, Sochi, of being down 2-0 with 10 minutes to go and then coming back, and probably one of the greatest comebacks in Olympic hockey history, just in the way that it happened, winning in overtime. So, you know, it's just all very different wins, but they're all, you know, you just take parts of them and they're with you forever about those moments.
Haley Wickenheiser joins us on TSN 1260. Haley, now that, you know, it's 22 years later, some athletes never get over the big losses. And it's funny, because you had five gold medals. Like, were you able to look at that silver medal from the gun of the, you know, the first women's hockey Olympics, and it wasn't the goal, but still cherish it? Or is that just something that you can't even look at?
You know, Jason, I took it out of the box the first time the other day, probably in, like, I don't know, 10 years, and actually, like, looked at it. So it's funny that it was you know, for so many athletes, winning a silver medal is an amazing thing at the Olympics, but for us it felt like such a failure. And I really carried that, like, for a long time. And so now I joke with people and say, oh, we don't really show this medal very often, but I will, you know, present it the odd time. But it's not one that I look back on fondly or spend much time thinking about. But I do think, you know, you lose to learn how to win sometimes, and that's what happened to us in that Olympics. We learned a lot of hard lessons, and it propelled us through the next three or four Olympics to get some wins there.
give me your thoughts on the evolution of the women's game, and just, you know, because it's come a long ways, and now you got the, you know, the NWHL. There's lots of speculation. People think that eventually, you know, it's going to team up with the National Hockey League, similar to the NBA and the WNBA. And you just see the growth of hockey. What do you love about the women's game the best right now, Haley? And is there anything you'd want to improve in it?
Well, I'll start with the improvement. So right now, the women's game is its own worst enemy. You've got these two leagues, the PWHPA. There was a big announcement last week of $1 million investment from Secret, Procter & Gamble, into a tour. And then you have the NWHL, which is sort of this American fraction. And neither of them are going to make it unless we have the best players in the world playing in one league. And I do think the way forward is with the NHL. So I'd like to see that worked out and pushed forward. And it seems like it's not anyone other than the women and the leaders in the women's game that are really holding this thing back from moving forward, unfortunately. So I think that is the truth. And then as far as the women's game, you know, I do think that there are enough good players in the world to have probably a maximum 16 league playing in, you know, maybe smaller arena sizes, kind of like the WNBA started, but maybe a slightly different model, and showcase it. Because the issue is that people love watching women's hockey in the Olympics. They just don't get to see that kind of hockey on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And so if they can lay more eyeballs on it, I think it develops a following, and it's very entertaining to watch and be a fan of. So that's kind of what I'm excited for the future of the game. And unfortunately, the pandemic has slowed everything down in sport, but women's hockey as well.
Haley, you're one of the biggest voices in women's hockey, widely respected from a lot of people, like, you know, yourself, and you mentioned Cammy Granato and maybe some of the other women who are in the Hall of Fame. Like, do you think you could get all the people in a room from those two leagues and say, hey, like, let's figure this out? How come that hasn't happened yet?
Oh, such a good question. I've tried. We've tried, I think, several times. The lesson in frustration. I think when you don't have the right goals in mind, then there's too much, you know, ego and pride, and I don't know, this idea that you're going to make get rich in the women's game. So I'm not really sure what it is right now. Quite honestly, I just don't have the time. I work with the Oilers and or with the Leafs, and in medicine, it just the being in the women's side right now is pretty frustrating for me. So I'd like to see it move forward. I think that there's been some good attempts, and I think they were close just prior to the pandemic, and then it sort of really put a halt on everything. So that's what needs to happen, though. You're exactly right.
Well, Haley, so much. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll have to get you back on again and talk more. Continued success in your medical profession and also in your role with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Quickly, to touch on that, you've been almost 2 years or just over 2 years now with the Maple Leafs. How's it going in development?
Yeah, you know what? I've really loved my role there, and it's all changed here in the last 6-8 months. It's a lot on Zoom, and we're just starting to get back into the facilities with the draft picks and with the possible regular season starting up in January again. So I love just being on the ice and being able to work with the best players in the world every day. And part of what I loved being a hockey player was the drive to want to get better and find different ways to improve my game. And so in my role in player development, that's kind of what I'm doing on the ice, helping the players. So it's a good fit for me right now and what we're doing. And hopefully we can get the NHL going again here in January and be back in the rink more full-time.
Awesome. Haley, continued success. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a great night.